Scripture reading this morning comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to follow along, page 2 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Listen to the Word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The same God who inspired these words incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, as most of you now know now, this third week in Advent, we are attempting this year to be more intentional about refocusing our Advent preparations and our Christmas celebrations. And to begin at what that might look like, we are considering the sentiment of Advent conspiracy contained most specifically in this clip. Watch. But I don't know about you, but I don't get tired of watching this video. It's really, really helpful for me to remember what's going on here and what we want to be about this year. Advent conspiracy, of course, asks us to focus on four themes during our Advent preparations. And they're unpacked briefly in the insert that is again in your bulletins. By the way, how many people have their insert on the refrigerator or in their bathroom or someplace posted in their home where you can see it? How many people? I'm assuming then that those of you who do not have your hands raised have already given yours away. At any rate, that's what we're going for, right? I want you guys to spend some time reading this and then post it in your house where you can be reminded about what we want to be about. And then the other weeks that it's in there, we want you to give it away. Send it to a friend, take it to a colleague at work, let them know what we're doing during our Advent preparations this year. We began, of course, 3 weeks ago now, and thought together about the first theme in the Advent conspiracy material that calls us to worship fully. And we considered very specifically Mary in her worship there in the kitchen of her cousin Elizabeth's hillside cabin in Luke 1, 39 to 56. Last week, we thought together about the theme that encourages us to spend less, or better, to spend differently. And I shared with you how one way to do that would be to consider juggling the amount that you spend on folks and setting aside a portion of that to give to the Ebenezer Fund here at church so that we can partner with Living Water International to drill a well in Haiti. There's some more information in your bulletins this morning on that can insert. And your sermon notes and so on the back page again. There's the exact same material that we had in there last week about Living Water and some other information about why Haiti and so on and so forth, that you can spend some time and familiarize yourself with what was going on the last couple of weeks. And if you'd like, by the way, of course, you can always go to the website. Our both sermons from the last couple of weeks are up there, so you can get on track if you've missed a few Sundays and listen to the sermon online. This morning, we're continuing the series by thinking together about Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, and what it might mean to give more, the third theme in our Advent conspiracy work this year. Give more, relationally, not financially. This is not about giving stuff. It's about giving more relationally. And to introduce this concept, I'd like you to just consider the one paragraph on the insert that deals with that. It's on the back page. Enter the story, flip it over, and let's just take a look at that together. Paragraph says, God's gift to us was a relationship built on love. So it's no wonder why we're drawn to the idea that Christmas should be a time to love our friends and family in the most memorable ways possible. Time is the real gift Christmas offers us. And no matter how hard we look, it can't be found at the mall. I think that's a great line. Time to make a gift that turns into the family heirloom. Time to write mom a letter. Time to take the kids sledding. Time to bake really good cookies and sing really bad Christmas carols. Time to make love visible through relational giving. Sounds a lot better than getting a sweater two sizes too big, right? That's what we're going for. In the passage before us today, I think what is most relevant to this theme occurs right at the end of the very first verse, where Matthew tells us wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They came to Jerusalem. They didn't study and watch the star to appear before them, to hang around back east and say, oh wow, would you look at that star? They saw the star and it motivated them to take action. They took a road trip. They made an effort to go from point A to point B to be with a person. A newborn baby who had been born to be King of the Jews and Lord of all. And regardless of all the speculation about how long that journey took, or how many wise guys there really were, or where they traveled from in the east exactly, and believe me, there are all kinds of theories about these things, the reality is they gave the gift of their presence. Notice the spelling. It is huge. We spell this presence P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. They gave the gift of their presence. And yes, other wise people will notice that they gave other gifts too. And some even say that is why, or at least part of why, we give gifts to each other today at Christmas time. And what I want to say is, well, if it's really biblical and we give gifts in that type of way, how come we don't limit our gifts to three? How come there's a sea of presents usually underneath the Christmas tree? We have always given our kids three gifts on Christmas Day. And to this day, that is what we do. Three gifts, motivated perhaps by the three wise men, each bringing the gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the important gift, and even wiser people know this, is the gift of one's physical presence. One of the fondest memories I have. We were grown, starting our own families. My grandfather would drive from York, Pennsylvania, to Boston, New York, a small suburb right outside of Hamburg. And he would show up in his car, not loaded with gifts, but loaded with food. I loved it when Gramps came. He'd open the door and the smell in the car. He smoked cigars. So this waft of cigar smoke would hit me in the face, and I can remember hugging him, and he would smell like cigars and coffee. Some of you remember this. Gramps, when he traveled alone, kept a jar of Instant Taster's Choice in the glove compartment of the car. And when he got a little sleepy, he wouldn't pull over to get a cup of coffee. He'd take the jar out of the glove compartment and eat it. And so there would be in the creases of his mouth, I don't know whether it was tobacco or taster's choice that formed in the crease of his mouth. And he's always there with a big hug and a big sloppy kiss.
How you doing, Robert? Merry Christmas.
And he would bring oranges from the orange car, and that's what I remember. That he had traveled from York, Pennsylvania to be with us. And truly, he came from the East to be with us. Consider the fact that when God really wanted to help us out, he didn't give us a new car or a new bike or a new iPad or gift cards from any number of places, right? He sent us himself. Jesus is God with skin on, who came to relate to us and dwell with us and teach us and hang out with us and be involved in our lives relationally. That is the gift that we celebrate at Christmas. The gift of presence. Spelled how? P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. He gave us himself. How is it John puts it in his gospel? God so loved the world that he gave Starbucks gift cards. No, I don't think so. God so loved the world that he gave a Squinkies Gumball Surprise Playhouse. No. And I'm not kidding, that's a real gift that you can purchase for your kids. God so loved the world that he gave the 2011 Hess truck. No, Rob. No. God so loved the world that he gave what? His son. He gave his son. His only son. Why? Because he wants us to be in relationship with him. God gave at Christmas time the gift of presence. And it's spelled how? P-R-E-N-C-E. He gave himself. Our Advent conspiracy video reminds us he gave himself relationally. Well, so what, you ask? Well, why don't we do that too this year? Let's give ourselves in new and fresh relational ways this Christmas. By all means, as the video encourages us, talk, eat, sled, bike, bake, read, play, create, craft together. All those things, remember that when they flip through all those things? I watched this video 15 times to see if there was anything else when they squeak it out right at the end. Those were the only things that I could make out, but you get the idea. Yes, the gift of presence is demonstrated when we talk, when we eat, when we sled, when we bike, when we bake, when we read, when we play, when we create, when we craft together. You give presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, when you do that. There is another insert in your bulletins. This is really supposed to be a pretty green. We're trying to save a few bucks in the office, so we're not printing in color. Okay? This sheet offers some gift ideas for relational giving. This is from the Advent Conspiracy website. Some great ideas here for folks to consider. And for those of you who have small children or know people with small children, on the back page, there's a great little article that Karen Rogers put together to help engage kids in what we're doing. So when they sit down on Christmas morning and wonder where the sea of presents went, you can have some ways and means to talk to them about what we're doing or trying to do relationally this year. There's also some very creative ways to talk about water. If you want to give the gift of water instead of buying a gift for someone, and talk about when you're bathing your kids, when they're drinking water, how important water is to our lives. So two great little resources for you guys to consider these next couple of weeks when we think about giving more and spending less. But the one insert that I really want you to spend time with, I'm really excited about this. When I found this on Advent Conspiracy, on the Advent Conspiracy website, I said, I can't believe this. I used this book in my interpersonal communications class at OCC. Gary Chapman's book, 5 Love Languages. Now, it's one of my favorite books, not because the writing is so great. And not because the ideas are off the charts excellent in the book. I love the book because of the concept. He is right on in terms of determining the fact that most of us like to be loved in certain ways. We have certain love languages. And when I use this resource with my kids at OCC, off the charts, every single kid says to me when they write it up, I can't believe what a valuable tool this is. This was so helpful for me to realize in this relationship I'm involved with right now, with my whole family and so on, to learn that someone really needs words of affirmation to know that they're loved. Some people really count on the gift of physical touch. Some people really just want quality time. That's their primary love language. Other people like acts of service. Other people like to receive gifts. And this is not stuff gifts. This is the gift of a gentle word. This is the gift of a little note in a mailbox or in a lunchbox or something like that. So here's what I'd love you to do. I have all my kids at OCC do this. There's a website listed right here. This week at some point, go to the website and take the little 5 love languages quiz. There's about 20-some questions, maybe 30 questions you can do in about 10 minutes. And then they will shoot you your primary love language so that you can know how it is you like to be loved most. And then on the back, what this resource has done has said, okay, so the person in my family that I love the most, or one of the people, that their love language is words of affirmation. So they offer you some suggestions about specific gifts that do not cost a lot of money, that you can give to a person to express your love in this particular way. What a great resource this is. This is a lot of fun. And I do not doubt that there are going to be some people that are going to come to me and say, Pastor Bob, that was such a great exercise. I knew there were some things different about my spouse. That's supposed to be funny, guys. You can laugh, okay? I knew there were funny things about my spouse. I just didn't get it. And now I know. Their primary love language is quality time. This is why they're unique, and this is why they get on me when I don't spend time with them. So it's a huge relationship booster. Spend some time with this week, and let me know what your love language is so that I can love you guys better too. What a great tool this is. Spend some time with that this week. Give more presents. Spelled how? P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. You got it. One more thing. And then I'm done. I want to try to prime your relational pumps, so to speak, today. And I want to take just a couple of minutes, and I mean just a couple. Announcements went for 20 minutes today. That's how long our announcements took. They were all very important, but we're 10 minutes past the hour right now, but this is huge. I want to take just a couple of minutes. I'm not counting two. And I want you to turn to somebody behind you or in front of you, somebody who is not part of your family, somebody who you may have to say, hi, I'm Bob Langston. Okay? You may need to introduce yourself to the people around you. If you need to get out of your seat to get with someone, that's fine too. And I want you to talk just for 2 minutes about ways that you have either experienced a relational gift in the past, or a way that you have given a relational gift in the past that didn't cost a lot of money. The example that I gave you guys last week about how Julianne and Drew, for several Christmases, we got little coupon books, right? And one of the coupons was good for a free hug, good for breakfast in bed, good for one cleaning of my bedroom whenever you ask me. You know, stuff like that, okay? There are all kinds of ways, I'm sure, especially folks who are from another generation. You experience this in a great variety of ways that we need to learn from each other about how to do this better. So 2 minutes, turn to your neighbor, just share one or two stories. Everybody doesn't need to share, but just one or two stories in the group about ways that you have shared relationally. Go. Okay, guys. Wrap up your conversation. Hopefully you've been able to talk about this just enough to sort of get a flavor of what we're going for, and I want to encourage you to continue these conversations in the narthex when we break up today. One more quick story that I came across, another website that I want to encourage you guys to look at. The website is RethinkingChristmas.com. It's one of the links from the Advent Conspiracy website. I was incredibly impressed with this one family 15 years ago. They were trying to do things relationally and wondered what was going to be important. And so 15 years ago, the family said, you know what? Let's do this. Let's spend some time before Christmas thinking about a Bible verse that we can give to everybody in the family. One verse or a couple verses, no more than two or three verses, that we can give to each family member. And we want this person in the family to live with this verse for the entire year. So they did this the first year, 15 years ago. They came up with a Bible verse for each person. And everybody was thinking, oh man, this is going to suck. You know, we're not going to get stuff. It's just going to be a stupid Bible verse. And, you know, I really want the stuff. So what they did was they came up with a Bible verse. Some of them made really nice calligraphy, put it on some special paper and framed it very nicely. And then put it in a gift bag, some, you know, cheap presentation, but it was classy enough. And the family said, we started this 15 years ago with fear and trepidation. And she said, now it does not matter what else happens on Christmas. This is our Christmas. This is the highlight for us. Because the family said, we know that everybody in the family spends all year thinking about what verse is going to be the best verse for this person. And now she said, we have 15 years of these verses that we have all saved, and they are family heirlooms for us that we treasure. Just one way to give presents. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Get it? Good, let's pray. God, we are really trying this year to please you in our preparations. We want to be able to worship fully, to spend less and give more and love all. And as we think about this week, Lord, what it means for us to give presents, lead us and guide us. And may we experience joy beyond anything we've ever experienced. We pray in your precious and holy name. Amen.